I want to begin reading verse 36 tonight and try to bring you just a little thought. The Bible says in verse 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." That's a very familiar passage. As you Bible readers, I know every one of you, maybe all you preachers maybe have preached from this. But Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, and we have an account of the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And we're going to see this about them. They were given a responsibility the others were not given. They were, I guess Judas is off the scene. There were 11 apostles now, and these three seem to have been closer to the Lord. But you know, you don't sense any jealousy how the other 8 or 9, when there was 12. But these three were up on the Mount Transfiguration, and I believe they went into Jairus's house when his daughter was healed, if I'm thinking right. And so they were given some special privileges, I guess we could say, that the others didn't have. And so here they're being called on again, and they were given a responsibility the other disciples were not given. We're going to see in a minute, they were told to watch. If you read all three accounts, they were told to watch and pray. I believe we can find that in the other Gospels. And they were given information that the others didn't have. I want you to notice what he said to them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death." He's talking to the three there and not to the 11. And so they went a little farther with Jesus than the others went. And you know, I've just about come to that place in my life where I figure there's a little handful of saints that's going to go farther than the rest of them. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I think you can be part of that inner circle if you want to be. But the fact of the matter is, there's just some that's more interested in the work of the Lord than others. It may go back to that story about to whom much is forgiven. How does that read? Who loves the most? And he said, to whom much is forgiven. Maybe it reads something like that. But it seems to imply that some love the Lord more than others. And really, we ought not to, because he saved all of us from hell. We ought not to, but some way or another, it just seems there's always a little handful that's willing to go on and I don't know about you, but I'd like to be in that little handful. I'd like to. I sometimes feel like I'm not, but I'd like to be. And so let's look in verse 38. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Now we see why he wanted them to pray, because to watch and tarry with him and to pray, it was because his soul was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. The man sighed, and when you start looking at Jesus and you know he's God, but you know he's man, and sometimes it's hard to put things together. But it appears to me that in this hour, Jesus wanted them to support him in prayer because he's struggling. On the man, we know God doesn't struggle, but on the man's, he's 100% man. And so it seems that he's struggling. His soul is sorrowful, exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And he says to this inner circle, he's saying to these model Christians, he's saying to these who you and I might think to be the ultimate believer. This is the inner circle. He's saying, I need you to watch and pray with me for a little while. Now you would have thought, them being who they was, you would have thought that they would have jumped to attention on that. Yes, Lord, we'll pray. We'll do exactly what you want us to do. That's what you would have thought. And so the Bible says in verse 39 that he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. I think we see an aspect of prayer, an attitude in prayer that we all ought to have, and that is an attitude that thy will be done. Thy will be done. So many times we pray, And I think it's right to ask him for what we think is our will, but ultimately, if we're right, we should want what the Lord wants above all else. And that's easy preaching, and it's hard living at times. It's a very hard thing to do. But we see that. And so he's dealing with this thing of Calvary. And he says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And then the Bible says in verse 40, and he cometh unto disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter. That makes me think Peter's probably the leader of the apostles. I don't know that. I've got it in my mind he may be the oldest. I know John outrun him to the tomb, which insinuated to me that maybe John was a little more young. It could be he's just more athletic. I don't know, but he ran to the tomb. But when Jesus came back to the inner circle, it wasn't John and James he dealt with. It was Peter. And I think, and maybe I'm reading more into the scripture than I should, but I tend to think Peter was the leader. And can I say leadership carries a responsibility about it that others in the church or in God's work might not have to carry. When God came to deal with this sleeping issue, he dealt with Peter. Dad, if your home ain't right, God's going to deal with you on that. That's how it is. And if the church is not right, he's going to deal with the pastor, I think, and deal with maybe some others who are in leadership roles. And so here he comes in verse 40. He cometh unto the disciples and he finds them asleep. They have disobeyed the Lord's command. The Lord said, watch and pray. They slept. Again, this is the inner circle. This is the ultimate Christian. Here's what we might use this phrase today. This is the cream of the crop. No better than Peter, James, and John. I mean, they've had privileges with the Lord. They've walked with Him. They've talked with Him. And even when the other disciples didn't get to participate in some things, they did. But now the Lord said, I need you. I'm sorrowing unto death, and I need you to pray. And they went to sleep. The champion Christians went to sleep on the Lord. My, the most spiritual failed to obey what He asked them to do. As intimate a relationship as they had with the Lord, they failed to do what He asked them to do. And again, it seems, maybe I'm reading more into it, but it seems that Peter was the one the Lord dealt with because maybe he was the leader in the group. And I know there's some supposition there, but I believe that to be the case. Now, here's what Jesus does. He just says, He just asked Peter, what? The way that reads, it seems like He's saying, what? Could you not pray for just 1 hour? Could you not pray for 1 hour? But then He says in verse 41, it doesn't say they responded, by the way. We don't see a response. I guess they were embarrassed. I guess. Have you ever been on your game, spiritually speaking, and then you just drop the ball and you're just halfway embarrassed about your spiritual status? You just feel ashamed that you went all week and didn't pray. You didn't pray, and here you are, have an office in the church, and you went all week and you didn't pray. Or you went 2 days or 3 days and didn't pray. And you just feel like a dog about it. That's kind of where I see Peter at here. What? Here's what the Lord said. Could you not watch? And I'm going to say pray, because I think that if I go over to Luke and Mark, I think I can piece that together. Could you not watch and pray with me for 1 hour? Just 1 hour? But they could. They could. And so down verse 41, He gives them another reason to pray. I want you to notice what He says. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, first time when He told them to pray, He said, my soul's exceedingly sorrowful unto death. I need you to pray for me. But now when He comes back and they're asleep and He wakes them up, asks them, could they not pray? He says in verse 41, now you need to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so Jesus now gives them a second chance. He gives them a second chance. Here's what the Lord does sometimes when you mess up. He'll let you do it again. He'll give you a second chance. You've all heard Jonas preaching. He's a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances. You've all heard that. Well, here's the inner circle needing a second chance. Sometimes you super Christians need a second chance. Here's what I'm saying. We all come short. Not a one. Nobody's growing wings. Nobody's got a halo. There's just times we need a second chance. And so He says, He tells him again, verse 41, watch and pray. But now He gives him a different reason, not because his soul's sorrowful unto death now, but that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus saw a need for their lives that they didn't see. Here they are sleeping, and He's saying, you need to pray because the flesh is weak. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And He knew what was coming up. He knew Peter was going to be tempted. I think probably he was going for the skull instead of the ear. And the helmet just slid it down across the ear. He knew he's going to be tempted to fight a spiritual battle physically. He knew he was going to flee that night in fear. He knew he was going to deny the Lord three times. And the Lord told Peter, watch and pray. You need to wake up and watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. They failed again. They're struggling. And we get a great spiritual truth. And I'm just going to take a minute and run a rabbit right here from the text. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now let me tell the super saints that's in the congregation, if there is any, your flesh is weak. Your flesh is weak. And here's what the Lord said you need to do. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Pray that you enter not. Matthew 6 and 13 on the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, whatever. Somebody's, I forget which title's unacceptable, but one of them's unacceptable. But in Matthew 6 and 13, the Bible says in that prayer of the Lord, they said, teach us how to pray, and he is teaching them how to pray. And part of that is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Did you know you ought to pray that the Lord delivers you from temptation and from evil? You ought to pray that for your children. Here's what he said. You need to pray that you enter not into temptation. Why? Because your flesh is weak. When we enter into temptation, there's a good chance our flesh can fail because it's weak. It's weak. And here's what you do. You get built up spiritually and you think, man, I'm doing good. I'm a champion. I'm this in the church and I'm that. And you get built up. But you somehow, when you do that, you fail to realize your flesh is still what it always was. It's weak. You ought to make it a prayer request that the Lord deliver. Lead you not into temptation, but deliver you from evil. That ought to be a prayer request. Here's what you think. I can go in that house with that woman. I'm spiritual enough to handle that. You may be a time or two. I'm going to tell you, your flesh is weak. You better be careful. Here's what you young people think. I can run with them ungodly people and it'll be okay. I can run with them. I know the truth. I'm going to help them. I'm going to be their friend so I can help them. Can I tell you, your flesh is weak. Your flesh is weak. This is the inner circle he's telling. He's telling Peter and James and John, their flesh is weak. You know what I suspect? I suspect they's twice the Christian that any of us are. Even now, I'm saying if you were to bring Peter, James, and John with the failures and the shortcomings they had, they'd measure up twice what we are today. And the Lord said, you better pray and you better watch because your flesh is weak. And we think we can handle it. And here's what I'm going to say it to you. I'm probably just going to say it over and over. Your flesh is weak. Super saint, your flesh is weak. I don't care if you've taught Sunday school for 50 years, your flesh is weak. I don't care if you've sung in the choir 1,000 times and you do specials, your flesh is weak. I don't care if you play the piano or the organ or the guitar or the mandolin or the fiddle or whatever it is and people rejoice over your playing or your singing or whatever it is, your flesh is weak. And the Lord knew that about the inner circle and he told them, he said, you better watch and pray. Now, I'm just going to read these to you. You know them. I feel like a broken record sometimes, but this is what God put on me. Young folk, You be sure you understand your flesh is weak. You get in the wrong situation, your flesh is going to let you down spiritually. And that's why the Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That means bad company will cause you to sin. That'll lead you to sin. Did you know Amnon may not have ever raped his sister had it not been for Jonadab? I don't know that he wouldn't have, but he may not have. It was Jonadab that planted the seed in his heart. Girls, be careful who you run with. Hey, you know what scares me is when I see church people drawn to sinful people. When I see church kids drawn to sinful kids. If I'm at the ball field and a little church girl's got her little skirt on, and the minute some friend or family or something comes up half naked and they automatically are drawn to them, that's a red flag to me. Who do y'all run with? Y'all want to tell me whether they're good church-going people or are they ungodly people? Don't be deceived. It doesn't say you'll have, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Go ahead, run with them sinners, men. Just run with them sinners if you want to. And you'll have the opportunity. Hey, y'all have that. I seen y'all talking. I'm going to come over here and talk to you. Y'all have that opportunity. Your mom and daddy can, hey, in just a few years, you'll be 16 years old. And if I think like I think, you'll be driving a little car and you'll be out here and nobody will be watching. Man, you can even go in your bedroom now and probably get that iPad and that phone. And there ain't no telling what you can do. Well, I bet 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning you can be talking if you choose to. You're going to have some freedom to make choices. You will too, Braven. You're a little younger than them. It's coming to you. It's coming to you too. You guys have it now. And I could go back there to Luke and I could touch all of you. You're going to have some choices. But I want to say this. Don't be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And you know why I'm telling you that? Your flesh is weak. Your flesh is weak, brother. You get half a chance, you're liable to tell a lie. You're liable to do something you ought not do. You know why? Your flesh is weak. And so you've got to watch. You got to pray and say, Lord, deliver me from that if you want to be delivered from it. Elijah, your flesh is weak. And you know what the Lord told Peter? And I'm going to tell you, you better watch and pray. Your flesh is weak. When nobody's looking and the devil says, you ought to look at this, your flesh will want to cave. It won't give in. Watch, Elijah. Watch. Pray. Ask the Lord to deliver you from temptation. That's good advice, ain't it, Mom and Dad? I'm telling them right. Watch and pray. And watch the company. Watch what? Here's what I'm going to tell you. Watch the company you keep. Watch the company you keep. Your company, the company you keep will affect how you act. It's that simple. That's a Bible truth. Why are you so dogmatic about it, preacher? Because that's what the Bible says, and I know it's right. Y'all better find you some godly friends and start running with them. That's right. Stay with your godly friends, Ben. But not only that, the Bible says this, abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, it didn't say abstain from all evil. But he said, here's what the Here's what the Bible says. Let me wait till the phone stops. Now, here's what I think that is, and I'm not calling you the devil, David. But I think that's the devil trying to interrupt something that may be doing some good. And here's what I'm saying. Not only had you better watch your company, but you better stay away from anything that looks evil. You better stay away from it. If it looks evil, it looks evil, stay away from it. Stay away from it. I'm not saying if it is. You may say it looks evil. You might say to me, Ben, Papa, it looks evil, but it's not really bad. If it appears evil, leave it alone. You too, Blake. Leave it alone. All right, let me try to go on. I got hung up there for a minute. That telephone got me back on track, I guess. And so here's what he told Peter, a choice believer, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You can take that lightly if you want to, but I'd advise you not to. Let me just say that before I get off of it. Notice what it says, and we'll just go through the text here. He went away, verse 42, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep, for their eyes were heavy. He prayed the same thing again. Is it wrong to pray the same thing over and over? You know, in Luke 18 and verse 1, it says men ought always to pray and not to faint. Then tells the story of a woman who went to a judge, and he answered her prayer because she kept coming back to him. We call that importunity. That's continually seeking what we feel like we need from the Lord. And that's what Jesus did. He came back and he prayed again. And notice what happened. And he came, verse 43, and he came and found them asleep again. They committed the same sin again. The same thing they were guilty of earlier, they did the same thing again. Can anybody relate to that? You ever sin and you ask forgiveness, you say, Lord, if you'll help me, I'll never do that again. And you've got all this you say, and lo and behold, it won't be a day or two and you do the same thing again. And that's the hardest thing in the world, is to go back to the Lord after you've done the same thing and asked Him to forgive you already. And if He'd help you, He won't do it again. And when you do it again, it's hard to go back and ask Him again. And so He comes and He finds them asleep. Now, we don't have an account in Matthew that he said anything to them, but in the other Gospels, it implies that he did. And they wist not what to say. And it's what one of the Gospels declares. That's John in John 14 and 40. Neither wist they what to answer him. And so they did. He did come back and he woke them up again. And they didn't know what to say. They didn't have anything to say. And so he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. This is Jesus three times prayed saying the exact same things. Now, that's not vain repetition, as the heathens do. That's someone with a burden on their heart if they keep coming to God. That's what that is. A lot of people say this. He must have prayed about an hour the first time. Then he went and prayed two more times. I don't know if he prayed an hour each time. But a lot of people who want to throw off on praying, setting a time limit on prayer, we pray 30 minutes, and then on Friday nights we pray an hour. And they say this, you don't have to pray an hour to get God to hear you. Well, you don't, but sometimes you've got so much to pray about, it takes an hour. And if you pray right and pray thoroughly, it may take an hour. I didn't even hardly get started tonight on this 10 minutes. Didn't hardly get through my family. And I know Peter said, what was he said? Save me, Lord, save me. Or something to that effect. When he was sinking, the Lord heard that short prayer. But there, don't throw off on somebody who prays more than you just because it bothers your conscience. Don't throw off on it. And so here he is, and he prayed again, left them, went away, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Verse 45, then cometh he to the disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. And this always puzzled me, because he says that, and then just right after that, he says, rise and let us be going. He says, sleep on, take your rest, rise, let's be going, it's time to go. And here's what I think, and you can do with it what you want to do, but I think what he's saying to them, okay, you had your chance to pray. You had your chance to pray and help me. You had your chance to pray and get some protection from God in these temptations, but those opportunities are gone. So you just go ahead and sleep all you want to sleep. Those opportunities are gone. They wasted God-given opportunities that night. They had 2 hours, maybe 3 hours that they could have prayed. And they slept. Now the fact of the matter that he asked them to pray says to me that they could have prayed had they chosen to. They might have had to walk around to stay awake. They might have had to done something a little different than what they normally done. But the fact that he asked them to pray for him, because he was exceeding sorrowful unto death, and because he asked them to pray for themselves, it seems to me that they could have done what he asked them to do. I believe I'm safe to say this. If God gives us a command, obedience is a possibility. But they didn't. And this is the cream of the crop now. This is not some fly-by-night jackleg that just got in or just birthed into the family of God or just half in or half out or lukewarm. These are the champions. And here's what he said. He said, just sleep all you want now. Your opportunity's gone. It's too late. You wasted it. And it made me sad because I started wondering how many opportunities God has brought into my life. And I unconsciously let them slip past me. This is the inner circle that did that. That makes me know we're not above letting opportunities slip through our fingers. And so here's what I would have done. Had I told a man to do something and he didn't do it and he went to sleep, I'd use Brother Ronnie. Brother Ronnie runs a contracting building, I don't know what you call it, builders, I believe is what you call yourself. They're builders. And if Brother Ronnie hired a man and he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to help me. And I'm going to slip up here for a little while and you do this. And they went to sleep on him. And he woke them up and said, hey, I told you to do this. And I'm going to go back up here and I want you to do what I tell you to do again. And he comes back the second time and they're asleep. And then he goes off again. He said, I'm going again and I want you. And he comes back the third time and they're asleep. I don't think Brother Ronnie, they probably wouldn't have got to that third time, most likely, Brother Ronnie. You'd have sent them home. You'd have broke fellowship with them. You would not have identified them. I'll not have an employee of Brewster and Brewster sleeping on the job. That looks bad in front of my customers. It's a bad mark on me. It's a bad mark on our company, and it'll hurt our business. And plus, I'm paying them. I've been good to them. I've rewarded them, and I'm not going to put up with it. But what did Jesus say? This is a blessing to me. They failed two or three times, and he said, "Rise, let us be going." He didn't break fellowship with them. He didn't say, "Listen, you've embarrassed me. You go to the house, or you do this, or you do that." Here's what he said: "Come on. You've made a mess out of things, but I'm still for you, and I'm still with you, and I'm still going to identify with you." And you know the story. Peter made a mess out of the crucifixion scene and out of what followed. But there in, is it Acts 2 when he preached his message and 3,000 were saved? There they are, and God takes this man who is a failure and he uses him for his glory and honor. Aren't you glad God uses failures? God will forgive you. Maybe you've committed the same sin over and over and over again. Can just say to you, won't you take it to God and ask him to forgive you? Maybe your relationship, you're just cold on him. Maybe you've just been asleep spiritually. I think that's where a lot of God's people stay. Fatigue is our enemy. Sure. That's our spiritual enemy. You can say whatever you want, but it's a spiritual enemy, this thing of fatigue. And we do not take that seriously. We set up till midnight or 1 or 2 o'clock on Saturday and come in church Sunday deadheaded and can't get anything and wonder what's wrong. That's what we do. But here they are, and they let fatigue whip them. They could not overcome that temptation to sleep. But the Lord forgave them. And he told them, "Rise and let us be going." And he used them again. And he will us if we'll be honest with him. Let's bow our heads this evening. Just a verse on the piano, Blake, if you don't care. If God spoke to anybody's heart and you need to pray, I want to give you opportunity to. Let's learn from this lesson if we can.